So now we have Chatzar Ginas Bitan at the beginning of the Megillah. We have Chatzar, where Haman comes in, where Esther comes in, where Haman comes in, and then towards the end, in the seventh part of the Megillah, when Esther says to Achashverosh that Haman hara hazeh, this wicked person Haman, was going to destroy the Jews. So it says that the king got up in his anger and went to Ginas Habitan. He went to the garden of the pavilion. And then we came back in to, from the Ginas Habitan, and he saw Haman falling on Esther's bed, and then he said to hang Haman. So the question is there symbolism in these three areas within Achashverosh's palace? So obviously, as I said, the Vilna Gaon has a symbolism, but doesn't really directly relate to the Megillah. He says that the Chatzer is this world, the Gan is where the Neshamas of Tzadikim are, the Gan Eden in heaven, and then there's the inner sanctum, which is the Bisan, where you have the highest Tzadikim. But also, I saw somebody brings down that it relates to the different areas of the Beis Hamikdash, because there was a chutz in the Beis Hamikdash, the Azara, the courtyard, where regular people would go. Then there was the area where the Mizbeach, the altar, and the Ulam, the hall with the menorah and the inner Mizbeach, etc., where only Kohanim would go. And then there was the Kodesh Kodashim, where only Kohen Gadol would go, and only on Yom Kippur. So these three areas are like the Chatzar, Ginas, Bitan. Okay, the courtyard, and the garden, and the pavilion. But I want to take a little bit of a different tack here. I want to suggest that you have to take each of these words and break them down. Chatzar is Chetz, Resh. And Ginas is, it's probably a Gimel Nun Tzav, is Gan, Tzav. And Bitan, Bayis, Nun. So what's the symbolism of these three things? So in each of these cases, I took off the last letter of each word, right? So going to each of these letters has a numerical value, gematria. Chatzer, Chetz, Resh. The Resh in gematria is 200. You have Ginas, Gan, Tov. Tov in gematria is 400. You have Bitan, Bayis, Nun. The Nun in gematria is 50. And these are symbolic in the following way. If you take a look at the Psukim in the Torah, the 200th Pasuk in the Torah, that's for the Chetz Resh, and you look at the Pasuk, the next Pasuk being the 400th Pasuk in the Torah, that's for the Gan Tuf, and you look for the last word, which is Bitan, at the 50th Pasuk in the Torah, which is Bayis Nun.
What was the gematria for the second one, for the garden? Is that Gimel Nun?
It's Gimel Nun. It's Gan Tuf. So we're looking at 400.
Gotcha.
For the Tuf, for the last letter.
Okay.
So the 200th Pasuk in the Torah is where Hashem says to Noach, "Tzei min ha-teva. Leave the teva. Leave the ark." Now, it's interesting, in the previous Pasuk, as a prelude to this, it says, "Vayidaber Elokim el Noach le'mor." This is the first place in the Torah where man, Hashem relates to man with the word Vayidaber. Till now, every time Hashem spoke to man, it was Vayomer. Also, it says here, not Vayidaber Hashem, Vayidaber Elokim. It's a double whammy, because we know that Dibur is supposed to Amira, is tougher talk, right? It's stronger. So Hashem is getting tough, so to speak, with Noach. And now he's getting tough by indicated by the Dibur, but also by the Elohim, which is Midas Adin. So basically, when Noah was in the Teva, was in the Ark together with his family, so this was a life of tremendous chesed, where Hashem treated all of them with great miracles and great kindness, and it was a very illuminated light. There's the word Tzohar. With Tzohar La'asa Teva, it doesn't just mean a physical light, there was a great spiritual light. That's why the word Zohar and the word Tzohar are related to each other. But now, Hashem is saying, Noach, it's different. And the Remeter says, Hashem Tzadik Yibchan, Hashem tests the Tzadik, That is what it means that it says Tzemin HaTeva. So this world is a world in which you're not always in a box in which you're safeguarded. You're cast out into the open. And when you're cast out into the open, you have to build your own courtyard. How do you build a courtyard? You make gedorim. You make fences. And so Chazal, the takonos of Chazal are called a mishmeres. And a fence separates, divides, cuts off. That's the word chet. Lachatzot means to divide. It's like chatzi means half. So what do you do when you find yourself in a situation where you're confronted with all these difficult tests, which is this world, which Noach is now coming into? And by the way, Noach succumbed very quickly. You know, it says by Cain, that Hashem said to Cain, lapetach chatas ruvetz. At the opening, the sin is waiting for you. So it's as if Noach leaving the table and the sin is waiting for him there. And that's what happened. That shortly after is when he planted the vineyard and became drunk and so on and so on. So the first thing that the person has to do is chet resh. That's like the sur merah. You have to stay away from all from bad things, separate them. Get away from that. That's the first thing a person does in this world. The next thing a person does in this world is he makes for himself a gan of suf, of the letter tough. Now, the letter tough is 400 in Gematria. It's interesting, there's a Gemara at the end of the first paragraph of Basra, about a Surah Mora, I forget his name, but says he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah in his lifetime. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? I wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Who can write 400 Sifrei Torah? So Gemara says, no, he wrote 400 times the Pasuk, Torah Sivalon Moshe Marasha Kriyot Yaakov. It's interesting. That's very nice, but what exactly is the remarkable achievement of writing 400 times the Torah Tivalon Moshe? So clearly there's a symbolism here. The symbolism is that the first pasuk you're supposed to teach a child, the first piece of knowledge you're supposed to teach a child is Torah Tivalon Moshe Marash HaKiros Yaakov. That's the first thing. And then you're supposed to go on from there. 400, because it's the last letter in the alphabet, is also a sign of perfection, of tmimus, coming to a wholeness. So therefore, it says that he was able to write this 400 times. It means that 400, he mastered this concept of Torah Tzivah Moshe, meaning the concept of Chachma. What is the concept of Chachma in Judaism? So now, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Right, the beginning of Chachma, and the beginning here doesn't just mean the beginning, but it means the root and the purpose. And it's the opposite of Amalek, where it says, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the root of all evil. So the root of all knowledge and the purpose of all knowledge is Yiras Hashem, is the Ohav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this in the Chumash is alluded to by the 400th Pasuk. What happens in the 400th Pasuk? First we have, before the 400th Pasuk, we have the 399th Pasuk, which is in Perek Yizayin Pasuk Aleph. And it's gracious. And it says, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Hisalech lefanai ve'yetomim. Go before me and behold, be perfect. So we see already this Tmimus is approaching. Avraham Avinu has reached the platform of completion, of perfection. We're on that verge of getting to that place. Hashem is saying, it's coming up. This is 399, we're coming up to 400. But the next pasuk it says, you're going to keep my covenant, I'm going to give you the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and I'm going to increase you very, very much. So the Medrash there says, what's this big increase? Avraham Avinu is already a level of perfection, right? Or what is this big increase? So the fascinating Medrash, the Medrash says that at that point, Hashem gave him the sod. He gave him the secret. What's the secret? And the Medrash very rarely does it. But here the Medrash says, the secret is Gematria, Samech Vav Dalet. In Gematria, is 70. So this represents, says the Medrash, the 70 Zakenim, which Am Yisrael had in the Midbar for the first time later on in the Sanhedrin. And and it represents Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught the Torah in 70 languages. And all this is because of the merit of the Mila. And this is called what it says, Sod Hashem Lirei, of the secret of Hashem goes to those who are in awe of him. So it's interesting that the ultimate purpose of Chachma, of wisdom, is to get to the Sod, which is behind the Chachma. What's the Sod, which is behind the Chachma? It's the same thing as the Reishis Chachma. Yiras Hashem, the Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a higher Madrega, and with more Chachma, Avraham Avinu can get after the Brit Milah. Because that knowledge is intertwined with Kedusha. You can't have that higher knowledge and perception without holiness. And holiness itself requires higher knowledge and perception. And that is alluded to by the Torah is the Eitz Chaim in Ozikimba, which is in the Gan, in Gan Eden. So the Eitz Chaim of Torah is the way in which we grasp this higher form of knowledge and this higher form of Kedusha. And it relates to the Gan, because the Gan is where the Eitz Chaim was and continues evidently to be to this day. So therefore, the second level is this level of acquiring Chokhmah knowledge, but not just regular knowledge, divine knowledge. That's knowledge which has to do with holiness. And that's the level of Gan Sof. Now finally, we reach the level of Bais Nun, the Bisan, which is the house of Nun. Now this, obviously the Nun represents the 50 gates of Bina, the Chamishim Shari Bina. And the 50th pasuk in the Torah is a fascinating pasuk. The 50th pasuk in the Torah is the pasuk in Bereishis, the second chapter, pasuk Chaf, where Hashem brings all the animals to Adam to name. He brings each and every animal to Adam to name. And we know that the name of a thing in Lashon HaKodesh captures its essence. So Adam has to have a unique capacity of Yizbainanus, of understanding, analyzing, understanding in order to grasp the essence of every creature. But the Medrash here, too, is an amazing Medrash, even more amazing than the other Midrashim. He says, it says that Hashem came to create Adam, and he asked the Malachi Asharis, the angels, what to do. He said, not telling him, let's make man. So the angel said, what is the guy Adam? What is this Adam? So he said to the angels, he's smarter than you are. And then it says they brought the animals in order to be named. So the angels didn't know the names. Adam was able to give them a name. Now, but the end of it says, Hashem says to Adam, V'atah mashmecha, what's your name? Amar lo, Adam said, Ani no eli kare Adam. It's good to call me Adam. Sheni brasi min Adam, because I created from the earth. And then Hashem says, V'ani mashmi, what's my name? Amar lo, so he said to him, L'chon eli kare Adonai. You should be called the master. Shatoa don't be a secha. Because you're the master of all your creatures. So this bina, which Adam Rishon has, it's an extraordinary bina. It's not just the bina, it's a bina not just to know the animals, that's not a big deal. It's a bina to know himself, which is a much bigger deal. And a bina even which gives him the capacity to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know how to relate to Hashem and to define for himself that relationship as much as any human being can. So that is the ultimate level of Bina. That's the 50th gate of Bina. To know, not then the 50th pasuk, to know not just what animals are, Shlomo HaMelech knew that, right? How to talk to animals, how to relate to animals, but to know oneself and to know Hashem. Now, the thing is like this. To get up to this level of Bina, it's very dangerous. The Nun is a Nun Sophis. Bison, the Nun is at the end of the word. And the Sfarim say that the Nun Sophis is extended down, and it's symbolic of Raglea Yordos Moves. Its legs descend into the area of death. And we know also that Chazal tells the Bereishis that Nun represents Nefila, a fall, right? Because the person who tries to climb so high is in very big danger of a fall. Who is the person who attempted to climb so high in the Megillah? So the Sfarim tell us that Haman aspired to the 50 gates of Bina. Now, we have to understand that according to all the Sfarim, Haman was no piker. He wasn't a simple person. He was a great scholar and great sorcerer. So that's why they describe him as wanting to ascend to to the Chiva Chamishim Sharabina. And he knew where to find those Chamishim Sharabina, where to find that, where a good place to find that. It says that he went to get the eight to hang Mordechai from Noach's Ark, because that was where he could find a piece of wood that long. But it's more than that. It doesn't just say a piece of wood. It says an eighth. He took an eighth. What's the eighth? So the eighth is this. He wanted to go up in that tree of knowledge, the Eitz HaChaim, and he wanted to experience it from Noah's Ark, where that state of illumination existed within the Ark. So he wanted to do this, to get to the Chamishim Sharabina, to the Bisan, without flexing $200, without going through the previous steps, without the chaser, and without the gina. How do we know? So there's a fascinating thing which Reb Tzadik says in Tzikas HaTzadik. He says, "Kemoshi yesh b'kinyan olam hazeh," just like in matters of this world, sometimes a person finds a vast treasure. Or he wins the lottery. And he gets rich without any toil. So too a person who can find this in matters of Olam Haba. Now, Tzadik says, it's not going to last. But temporarily, he can find such a thing. And it says, he says, that's where it says that Noach matzachim b'nei Hashem, Noach found favor in the eyes of God. And Chazal say in the Midrash that, who matzah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu lo matzah. He found favor Hashem didn't find. What does that mean? It means that it's not that Noach worked at this, and he toiled, and he, so to speak, made himself, but he came to this level of being tzaddik because that was his character with which he was born. He had this midah as his character trait. So he didn't have to work at it. He got it, so to speak, randomly as a gift, and then without the toil which normally is required in order to achieve high levels. So Haman also has this aspiration to follow Noach. In other words, he wants to be able to usurp the place of Am Yisrael in this world. And he wants to without any work, without any toil, just by skipping up to that place. And we know that this is what all the Sfarim say about Amalek in general. Amalek says, Asher karcha l'derech, they happened upon you on the road. And happened upon you on your road means that they have this perspective of Seder Shel Mikra, an order of coincidence, meaning that there are ways in which you can work his system, which Haman believed in. He believed in the concept of Chamishim Shari Bina. And Haman tried to work the system. That's why Chazal say, that everyone says, Melech Stam in the Megillah, it refers Melech without any Achashverosh, it refers also to Hashem, and that when Haman was giving all that money to Achashverosh, he really on a different level was indicating that he's willing to give money to Hashem. And the Vilna Gaon makes the reckoning that in the 10,000 kikar which Haman wanted to give to Achashverosh, you have 600,000 machtzis shekels. And he was coming to take the place of Am Yisrael. The machtzis, he's saying, what do you need? You need money? I'll give you money. But the truth is that the machzis ha-shekel, the whole point of machzis ha-shekel is that it's given with a simcha and with shem shamayim. It says that if a Jew gives tzedakah and his son, for his son to live and his son dies, he's a tzaddik, because he'll say at least have a mitzvah tzedakah. If a non-Jew gives the same money with the intent that his son dies, if his son lives, if his son dies, he's upset. Why did I waste the money to give to tzedakah? Why? Because this, particularly in this case, which we say, particularly in the case of Amalek, that there is this nature, which is to do things where they have an agenda, and not for the actual sake of the thing itself, for Kiddush Hashem, Avas Hashem, anything of that sort, but rather for one's own power and personal aggrandizement. So Haman never ever gets past the chaser. He never gets even to separate himself from Ra. And that's why I think why Esther, when she points out to Ahasuerus Haman's iniquity, she says, Haman hara. Doesn't say Haman harasha. Right? Says Haman hara. Haman is, the whole point of Amalek is to find the shortcut to be able to usurp the place, preeminent place, without any of that voida, without getting rid of any of the ra. Not only that, we know that also it says that when Amalek attacked Am Yisrael in the Midbar, so they made a mockery of the mitzvah Bris Milah, which is, all again, part of the prerequisite to acquire true chachma, which you see from Abinu. So Haman doesn't make it past the chaser. He doesn't realize that, but he can't get to the highest levels unless you go through the proper channels. So when Hashem, so to speak, comes to get Haman, the Achashverosh, but it says there's a Melech, he comes in from the Ginas Habison. He comes in and says, Haman never made it to the Ginas Habison. That's special for Am Yisrael. And therefore he commands that Haman should be destroyed. And it's interesting because Chaser Ginas Habison in Gematria, that phrase, I didn't find any of this myself. I used Gematria calculators for this. But Chaser Ginas Habison in Gematria 12:13 is Vayiklu es Haman al Ha'etz. So Haman, which is Paskin Esther Perek Zayin. So Haman's hanging on that tree, the tree of knowledge which he aspired to acquire, comes because he didn't go through the channels of Chaser Ginas Bitan. It has a couple of other interesting gematrias which Chaser Ginas Bitan has. One of them is, it's the same gematria as which is when the king's sleep is disturbed and he says to bring the book of Zichronos. So obviously this is all the Chaser Ginas Bitan also alludes to this turning point where Am Yisrael, because they have, even when they're on a low level, this notion of progression and growing and trying to be good, so therefore the Hashem, so to speak, wakes up and is going to save them. And all this is encapsulated in the mitzvah of Zachar Es Asher Asolach HaMolek. To remember is the opposite of Mikra. Coincidence assumes that there's no history, that everything just takes place in the moment, of the moment, without any antecedents or any purpose necessarily. And that's when Haman's lottery, the poor, to try and find that moment of randomness in which he can usurp everything without any regard to any of the promises and the history which Hashem has with Am Yisrael. That's why Chaser Ginas Habitan in Gematria is also Parshat Zohar. That is alludes to that, to this whole concept. Now, once I was in this Gematria calculator, which is actually online, one of them is online, it's a somewhat useful one. I ran also at, this is not related at all to what I said till now, but just to finish up, it says I ran the numbers, I ran Adlo Yodam, and until you don't know between Orohaman and Baruch Mordechai. So it's fascinating that Adlo Yodam comes out of Gematria to 193, and it's the equivalent of two fascinating phrases which are the purpose of drunkenness, if one does it right on Purim, is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that's 193, and V'chai Achicha Imach, that's also 193. Why? Because through the whole point of drunkenness is that even when a person's intellect is down, or perhaps specifically when a person's intellect is down, then he can perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a much greater and powerful extent, even though he doesn't have possession of its faculties. It's innate and intrinsic in the Jewish neshama. And it's also, the Chayachicha Imach means that the whole part of the purpose of Purim, one of the most integral parts of Purim, is Lech Knosis Kol Yehudim, that all the Jews should come together. That's why I have the essential mitzvahs of Mishloach Manos and Matonos Rev Yonim. And a person who is in that state of Adlo Yada, when it's done the right way, is able to stretch out and feel that unity and that blurring of distinction and boundaries in a positive way between himself and the rest of Am Yisrael. And just as to conclude, there's an interesting, you know, the Gemara in Megillah says that one Purim, Rabba slaughtered Rabbi Zeira. Rabba got drunk and he killed Rabbi Zeira. And when he came back to, he brought him back to life. Whether it's literal, not literal, it's not important for us right now, but so next year, Rabba invited Rabbi Zeira to come back to the Purim Seudah another time. So Rabbi Zeira wouldn't go back the second time. He says, not every time is the miracle going to happen. So according to this Gematria, I can say it like this, that Rabbi Zeira said, it was in essence saying, listen, Rabba, the purpose of getting drunk is not to kill your brother. So therefore, I don't think you're the one with which I want to get drunk on Purim. All right. That's all, folks, for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And again,
I'm very impressed with your use of Gematria. I love it.
Purim is the best time for it. So, and if you want to find any of the sources, again, you can go to the blog and everything is there. Everybody should have a meaningful and faithful Purim. Meaningful.
You too.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye, Lotto.